بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، my brothers and sisters, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us to that which leads to His rida. Because in the end, when we meet Allah, the only thing that will matter is the rida of Allah, whether Allah is pleased with us or not. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave everybody the same amount of time, which is 24 hours. It is what we do with this time which will be beneficial for us or not beneficial. I don't know how many of you come from countries where this happens, but in my country, in the summer, they have people who sell ice. So they go to the ice making factory, they buy a big block of ice, and they put this ice onto a cart. There's some sawdust, they put the ice on the sawdust, they put a sack over it to stop it from melting, and then the guy is calling out, say, ice, 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 you know. Now imagine that you are an ice seller. What you have to begin with is a block of ice. But what you will take away at home in the night is the money for the ice you sold. So if you are an ice seller, and you say, you know, it's like 11 o'clock or 12 o'clock, it's very hot, so let me just leave it here, I will sleep for some time, sleep for 2 hours, then I will come back. What will happen? No ice. Because it's all melted, gone. So if you are an ice seller, you will say, no, no sleep, no nothing, I have to sell this ice first. Because only the ice which I sell will give that money I can take home. And the ice is continuously melting. The ice is not stopping for anything. The ice is melting. Whether you are sleeping, you are selling, you are not selling, or whatever, the ice is melting. Ice is going. This is the nature of our life. So if all of us are ice sellers, this is the nature of our life. Our life is melting. It is going. Imam Shafi'i rahmatullah alayhi, he said, life is a certain number of breaths. You know, you breathe in, breathe out, count number. So the day we were born, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wrote so many thousand breaths. When the last breath is taken, that's it. If it comes in and stops or goes out and stops, that's finished. End of story, we finished our breaths. So life is a set of, is a number of breaths. What we do with that breath, what do we take away? When we sell that, what do we take to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? This is what will determine our success or failure in life. So the question to ask ourselves is, what am I doing with my life? Is my life being spent in the rida of Allah, in trying to gain the rida of Allah, or am I doing things which are against the rida of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Now, in order to help us to understand that Allah did not make this into a mystery, Allah did not make this into some guessing game, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent for us a path, a Nabi, to show us the path. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in 17 times a day, Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. Oh Allah, show us the way. We worship only you, and we ask help only from you, and then we say, Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim. Show us the way to Sirat al-Mustaqim. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted his dua. And he said, Huwa allazi arsala rasulahu bil huda wa deeni al-haqqi liyuzhirahu ala deeni kulli wa kafa billahi shahida. Allah said, he is the one who has sent for you a Rasul who is truthful with the deen of Haqq. So you ask for it, Allah gave it. Now there are two ways of guiding anybody. One is you can be given a map and say, here is the map, follow the map. So maybe I follow the map correctly, maybe I make some mistake, maybe I go somewhere, I take a detour or something happens. The other method, which is 100% sure, is to send the map and to send a guide who knows the way. Can't go wrong with that. The map is there, but the guide is there. Follow the guide, just follow, walk behind him. He will take you to the right place because he knows the way already. And that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did. He gave us, he sent the guide. Our job is only to follow the path of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if you do that, inshallah, وَمَيُّتِي الرَّسُولَ فَقَدَطَى اللَّهِ. The one who has followed the Rasul, who has obeyed the Rasul, has obeyed Allah. And the one who obeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is in Jannah, inshallah. وَمَيُّتِي اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ. The one who obeys Allah and the Rasul, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, he will be among the people who عَنَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ وَالصَّالِحِينَ. Allah said they will be with the Anbiya and the Rasuls and the Shuhada or the Salihin. These are good people, they are the best of companions. So we follow the Rasulullah salatu wasalam. And that is the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us that the entire life of Rasulullah is worthy of following. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. The whole life. Not only his salah, not only his siyam, not only his hajj, not only his ghazwat, whole life. And that is the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also gave Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a life which has something for anyone. If you are a king and you want to know how do I rule my country, look at the life of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you are an employee, you work for somebody, you say how do I work for somebody, look at the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because he was an employee at one point. If you want to be an employer, look at the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you want to be, when you are a bachelor, you are not married, how must I behave in my youth, look at the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. After I get married, what should I do? Look at his life. My children, what should I look at? I mean, every aspect of life of any human being, there is an example in the life of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And that is the reason why nobody will be able to say that I did not know. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, this life is the life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is for all of us. And this is the best way. And for those who, out of their love for Rasulullah, when they do more, which is emulation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِيُونِ يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Allah said, those who say to those who claim to love Allah, to emulate me, make my ittiba, not itaat. He did not say fatiuni, he said fattabiuni. Now there's a difference between itaat and ittiba. Itaat is obedience. For obedience, there needs to be a instruction. There needs to be an order, an instruction, a hukum. If there is no hukum, then you cannot obey. But for ittiba, for emulation, for imitation, no hukum. Imitation is the sign of love. You know, anytime people have a particular kind of haircut, why do you have this haircut? Because so and so, some film star or somebody, some so-called influencer has. You walk in a certain way, you wear certain fashions, some certain kinds of clothes, some brands. Imitation is a sign of love. Imitation is a sign of affection, emulation. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, say to them, if you love Allah, emulate me in everything. There's no need for a hukum. There's no hukum required. And then what will happen? You'll be poor. Allah will love you. And if Allah loves you, the boundary condition, the minimum is what? Yaghfir lakum dhunubakum wallahu ghafur rahim. Allah will forgive your sins. And Allah is the most forgiving, most merciful. Just think about that. Just think about the important thing is when we read the Quran or we listen to the Quran, we must reflect on this and think about what does it mean? Allah will love me means what? What is the benefit of Allah loving me? Is it useful, you think? Allah should love you? Yeah? Dumb question. Of course, everybody will say yes. So how will Allah love you? That is the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to be preserved so perfectly in so much detail. Sometimes I ask people this question. I say, you know, think about the person you love the most, whoever it is, right? You might say my father, mother, wife, husband, whoever, child. And then if I tell you, what are the, describe for me, the sole of the foot, underside of the foot, of this person you love the most. Do you know what it is like? You won't know. But for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we know. We have the hadith of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. We know what the sole of the foot of the Rasul alayhi salam was like. Imam Tirmidhi rahmatullahi alayhi, he made a whole book. He collected all the ahadith related to the appearance of Rasul alayhi salam and he made a book called Shama'il al-Tirmidhi. Shama'il al-Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. What was his blessed head? What was the hair like? What was his beard like? What was his eyes like? Were the eyebrows, the eyelashes? I mean, even they did not just say eye. They said the eye, the black part of the eye, the white part of the eye, the eyelashes, the eyebrows. I mean, imagine that eye is described in so many ways and parts. What must have been the love of these people who looked at him, who described him and preserved that, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused this to be preserved. Today we are sitting here 14 centuries later and we are talking about the Shama'il of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why? So that we can become like that. Right? The idea is that. So that we can become like, otherwise what is the point? Why is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserving in so much detail? So that we can become like that. And when we become like that, what happens? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will love us. Today, for example, you know, people wonder, we make dua, Ya Allah, Ya Allah this, Ya Allah that, Ya Allah that, Ya Allah help us, Ya Allah this one, Palestine, this, that, what not. Sudan, Yemen, you know, there is a list of places. But what is happening? Is anything happening there? It's only going worse. Only worse. There's no improvement. Only worse. So what about all these du'as? Because the du'a is being made by people, may Allah protect us from ourselves. His du'a is being made by people who are disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knowingly. You know something is haram, you do it. You know something is wrong, you still do it. You know something you should not eat, you eat it. Then if somebody tells you, you get angry with that person. La hawla wa quwwata illa billah. Then when you add, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah. There is a beautiful hadith. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, a man comes into the masjid. You know the hadith, right? He said, come to masjid. He is covered in dust. His clothes are dusty. He's raising his hands to the sky. And he's, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Rab, Ya Rab. Now think about this. Somebody who comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that state is a traveler, is full of dust and so on and so forth, he raises his hand to the sky. All of these are good signs. This means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah, will accept his dua because this is a man, he's in a problem, he's come from far, he's traveled, he's asking Allah, he's raising his hand. All good signs. But what is the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, this fellow, his food is haram, his clothes are haram, his earning is haram. How will Allah accept his dua? Even though he's asking Allah, he's not making shirk. He's not going to some grave and asking the you know, the Sahibul Khawar. No, he is asking Allah. He's in the masjid. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, how can his dua be accepted? Because he eat, what he's eating is haram, what he's earning is haram. His clothes, meaning his earning is haram. You know, what he buys the clothes with, I think he's... So I remind myself and you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rule is, Allah said, وَأَلَّيْسَ لِلْإِنسَانِ إِلَّا مَا سَعَى. For the human being is only what he works for, nothing more than that. So if we want our lives and the lives of the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to change, we have to change ourselves. Not point a finger at somebody else and say, this one, that one, no, me. Start with yourself. Start with yourself, start with your own family. Stay there, listen, think about it, reflect, bring some change into your life. Inshallah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will change our qadr. Because whatever is happening because of Allah's hukum. وَمَا أَسَابَكُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. Nothing will happen except by the hukum of Allah. So if it is happening, good or bad, it is because of Allah's hukum. You want it to change, we have to beg Allah. Say, Ya Rab, please, do something for us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu to open our hearts to His Noor and to His Kibriyai and to His Khudra. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to fill the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Habib Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in our hearts. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to join our children and ourselves to the masjid and to make us people who will become a source of guidance for ourselves and for others. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika wa rahmatika.